What's up, innovators? This is your girl, Tech Tammy. Thank you for coming back to see me here. Well, hear me, see me, you know, we get it. I'm excited to be here again with you today, and I have a few topics that I just want to run by really, really quickly, so feel free to multitask as you listen. I want to talk about tech fatigue for everyone, administrators, school district, students, everything. This year to me has felt like, you know, a year of tech fatigue, and it's justified. But where do we go from here? Next, we'll talk about media literacy, and especially media literacy and how we help our students kind of dig through the muck. And especially with the fact that you could send misinformation, disinformation in seconds to the other, you know, side of the globe. It's powerful, and we need to help our, you know, students or children and even other adults kind of educate themselves on how to interpret and kind of manage all of this information and sort of the steps or things we can do to verify information. It's just really important. And finally, there is a really big issue that probably 99.9% of schools, at least in the United States, or classrooms in the United States, have, and they're struggling, and we've been struggling with it. And I think my dear friend in my head, Chris Rock, has figured it out for us. Or maybe, if he hasn't figured it out, there is at least something to his philosophy, and I'll explain what that means here. So thank you for being here. We're gonna giddy up, and let's move on with the show.
Technology fatigue. Are you tired yet? If you're not tired yet, you probably will be soon. I think, especially in the past few years, the most minute, tiny, mundane task that one wishes to complete, for some reason or another, leads us back to digitally connecting online. So I came across an Ed Week article, and in that article, most educators, and that would be principals, teachers, district leaders, in a survey that was conducted by Ed Week in December of 21, 79% of them said that they felt their teacher colleagues were tired of all the tech use they had experienced over the past 2 years. How did the students feel? They were right along with them. About 72%. They believe, you know, it was just enough. It's just enough. And that was coming into the new school year. And obviously, if you've been alive and well in the past few years, between the years of 20 and 2022, particularly if you're in the classroom or in a school building, that makes total sense. How could you not be overwhelmed by technology? One day things were normal and then things were crazy. And all of it had to do with connecting people digitally and doing things a new way with like very little lead time, new devices, new ways of doing things, and no one to kind of guide and train you through the process. Of course, when given a chance to take a step back, of course you're going to do that. That's just human nature. So those survey results are not super surprising. But in the world of what we know and what so many teachers have already said, that they learned so much about, you know, integrating technology and the benefits of it, as well as some of the drawbacks, you know, they have a greater understanding, and to some degree, they're even more comfortable with the technology, but they're simply fatigued. And so the article went on just basically to say that, you know, technology integrationists or people who push into classrooms to help or professional development specialists, like everybody kind of just needs to chill take a step back, at least for a little bit, let people regroup, kind of, you know, go back into the traditional setting, keeping some of the advances that, you know, collectively the educational community had made with technology, keeping that in mind, but then gradually building upon it. So if you are fatigued by technology, I see you, I hear you, I'm with you. And I know that we can, you know, continue to grow and learn. And I certainly wish you well as you move forward in your individual and personal journey with technology in the classroom. And take care of yourself, because we're all just a little bit too connected, aren't we? We'll be back in a second.
Everything I learned about how to manage cell phone disruptions in the classroom, I learned from none other than the comedian Chris Rock. That's going to seem silly. I'll get back to that in a second. All right. So I am paging through, or have been paging through, an article in Ed Week, and I came across an article by Allison Klein, March of 2022. And the title is "Cell Phones in Schools, a Huge Nuisance and a Powerful Teaching Tool." Hear, hear. I could not agree more. The article goes on to explore just what you would normally expect. The fact that we agree that there's powerful learning that can be accessed through cell phones, especially if you're not in a district that has one-to-one devices, or if you don't have a lot of technology in the classroom. Most kids, believe it or not, you know, regardless of, you know, economic situation, do have a cell phone. So it can be powerful in connecting students to the digital world, particularly the digital world that we want to bring into the classroom. But there are some things we don't want to bring into the classroom. We don't want to bring into the schools. And guess what? Those cell phones have those things too. And more, I think I hear, you know, teachers are very kind of frustrated about cell phones. And it hasn't gotten better over the year. You would think it would have gotten better over the years, I should say, with more and more students and schools going one-to-one with devices. It's still, you know, very much a problem in many classrooms. So the article explores the fact that just good teaching practices that we already know, engagement, buy-in, those types of lessons will mitigate the distractions of cell phones. But will it? Because sometimes teachers are standing on their head, like doing phenomenal jobs. But if that TikTok notification comes through, I don't know. The article also suggests that, you know, taking the hard line is just going to eventually backfire. We don't take the hard line very often anymore on anything. And I think I'm talking about society in general. So maybe, I don't know. I feel like, you know, I'm a child of the 80s, which I'm sure I've mentioned before. Hard line. I'm okay with taking the hard line. I know that what's happening now isn't working. And I'm going to come back to my Chris Rock statement right now. About a couple weeks ago, my friends and I went and attended a Chris Rock show. Got there, we were met by two very friendly little faces that kind of put out a, you know, kind of squishy pack in our face before we went through security, and they essentially told us we needed to disrobe of all electronic devices. And that was like, Mom, what do you mean? That was cell phone, that was our smartwatches if we had them, and even AirPods, which apparently there's something with the AirPods you can do with a recording that clearly I don't know about, so good for them that they do know. So, you know, I'm going to see the show, so I'm going to play nice. I put all my devices in the pack, they locked it just by kind of snapping it together, and then they gave me my pouch back and sent me on my way. And I'm asking, like, well, what if I need it? What if it's an emergency? And they're like, you come out, you can go to one of the designated areas. Someone will be happy to unlock it for you. Okay. So I went in, I you know, kind of chatted with the people next to me before the show started. And about 15, 20 minutes in, I felt like this crazy calm come over me. Like I was just focusing on what was happening in the moment, enjoying the show I paid more than enough for. No selfies, no, you know, whatever else is. And, you know, by the time the show was over, I realized, you know, I'm one of those people who, you know, just too attached to my cell phone and taking it away from me and forcing me away from it. But I still had the security that was right with me. You know, it wasn't like it was locked up in some cage down the hall. It was right on my lap. It was actually made me live in that moment for that experience. Now, I'm a middle-aged woman and I was at a comedy show. You know, we have younger students developmentally in a different place, struggling with self-regulation and trying to learn and trying to get into college or complete, you know, an internship or you know, learn their decimals or how to translate a new language. They probably, in many cases, could use that assistance as well. So I'm gonna ask you, should we just take the hard line? Would something like that work? And I think there are some schools that I read years ago that have done that. And I kind of just said, that's crazy. And never even looked any deeper into it. But now I'm at the point where, I don't know, is that a good idea? Did Chris Rock figure it out for all of us? Is that something where students could come in, you know, cell phones go in that pouch, they take it with them. And at the end of the day, and then the unlock feature, because you may say, oh, you got thousands of kids leaving at the same time. I will say, number one, there were at least hundreds of people in that auditorium. And the backlog for getting out, literally, there were just stations where you could kind of go up to, and the metal piece that locked it demagnetized, took your stuff out, and then we put our pouch like in a hamper on the way out. It took seconds. Is that something? Is that practical? Is that something we want to do? Can we take the hard line? That's not even the hard line. The hard line is don't bring it to school or else. How about, you know, bring it to school. If there's an emergency and you really need it, this is how you get it, by going to this, you know, place. But otherwise, it's with you just like it would be if you could use it, but it's locked and you can't get to it. Can we try that? We never try anything anymore. I don't know. I got an idea. Why don't you guys try it, wherever you are with your school or district, and get back to me. This is Tech Tammy. I'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, it is everyone's favorite time of the show, Ask Tech Tammy. Unfortunately, these questions may have no relevance to actual educational practice, but maybe they do. You'll just have to listen. So let's ask Tech Tammy.
All right, which of the following adventures would you like to experience most? And then, of course, why? All right, so first one, hot air ballooning, seaplane ride, a wine tour in another country, a whitewater rafting trip, or a cooking lesson in another country. I'll just go ahead and start eliminating things. Anyone who knows me, you've probably already guessed, I don't like flying on a huge jet. So you're not gonna get me in a basket and have me floating over the earth. So hot air ballooning, let's get rid of that one. Seaplane ride, you probably have slightly less chance of getting me to get in a seaplane than you do a hot air balloon. So that was easy. We got rid of A and B immediately. So next we have a wine tour in a country I'm visiting, D, whitewater rafting, E, cooking lessons in a foreign country. I have to laugh at the whitewater rafting, which is selection D, because I have actually gone whitewater rafting, and if you know me, that's not really something that I would do, but I've not only done it once, I've done it twice. And all I have to say is, I have a good friend, John, and whenever He didn't want to get into a story. He used to say, one day over margaritas, I'll tell you all about it. One day over margaritas, I will share my whitewater rafting stories with you. I'm eliminating whitewater rafting. So now, wine tour or cooking lesson, I like them both. I'm going to go with the wine tour. And only because I cook every day. And ever since 2020, when I became a short order cook for my child during the pandemic, who had to eat 15 meals a day, I have kind of hated cooking. So cooking's out, especially if I'm visiting a new place. Take me to the wine, various wines, and tell me a story. That's my answer. Hope you had some fun.
I think I'm dating myself here, but back in the day I had a MySpace. Now, before you laugh, if you even know what a MySpace is, if you're laughing, it's because you had a MySpace too. So that judgment giggle you just gave me, it's only because you realize that we are not as young as we used to be. It was a neat way to collect, you know, friends online, and you post your favorite music and all that other good stuff. My MySpace, I remember not putting a lot of effort into it, and it was relatively, if not completely, lame. Much like my current social media presence, some things don't change. But I thought about that MySpace not too long ago when I was thinking about media literacy and social media in particular. Information and the way we share information has changed. It moves a lot faster, and there's a lot of mis and disinformation out there. Media literacy was always important, but it is critical now in a world where information can be shared to the other side of the planet in seconds via social media. I think media literacy is something that we really don't talk about enough, especially as it relates to social media, because that's where a lot of information is being shared, right? And it's more than often that I see information circulating that I'm like, well, that can't possibly be true. And I'll look down at someone's post, and then I'll see they already have, like, you know, 150 likes or whatever it is, and retweets and shares and just all that other stuff. And I'm like, whoa, did anybody check this out? This is, like, totally made up. A colleague and I were talking, and she was working with her ninth grade students on media literacy and came across something that I had never used before. And it was a part of the National Literacy Project. The name of the site, though, is Checkology. And it's phenomenal. I mean, I spent hours just literally going through it from the teacher perspective and then the student perspective. And I think it was modeled for grades maybe 5 through 8. I would say definitely at least maybe 6 through 12. Really well produced. The videos and audios and all the visuals, everything looks really good. The exercises were just interesting, short. It was well designed. When a student has to respond to a question or view a segment, that they can't move on until they have read the article or so much of the article before they respond. It was just some really, really good stuff in there. Its name again was Checkology, I guess checkology.com. So check out checkology.com as a wonderful resource for yourself and your students with digital media literacy.
Well, it looks like we've reached the end of this episode. Boo, hiss. All good things must come to an end. No, seriously, thank you so much for hanging out today with the Innovative Learning Podcast. I always appreciate you and our new listeners. Thank you for being there. Hope you come back. Hope you decide to come back. And I hope I left you with something to ponder or to giggle or to just drown out the background noise of your life. This is Tech Tammy. Thank you for listening. Take care.